This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you got your sufficient servings of basketball yesterday. Because you better be ready. You better purge. You got to purge. Because today there's more stuffing for you. There's more hoops today.
You get right back up at it.
That's it, man.
You got to purge any non-essential items in your brain and just focus on your brackets, damn it.
That's it, man. That is it.
So I don't know if it sounds like I'm groggy, like I am or not. I'm trying real hard not to. I had a rough night's sleep last night because I had a nightmare. And I know why. I knew why I had that Laramie Tunsil nightmare last week.
Yeah.
Sometime yesterday afternoon, I said out loud, you know what? I'm going to get rid of my smartphone. I'm tired of it. I need less distraction in my life. I'm just going to get a flip phone for emergencies only. And then, of course, sometime around 1 a.m., I had a dream that I was traveling and there were complications and I didn't have a phone. So I was waiting in line to try to, I was waiting in line on hold on my flip phone, but trying to talk to anybody. So I was waiting in line at customer service to do something that would have easily been handled on my smartphone.
Yeah.
And then by some weird stretch of circumstance, I ended up having to use a rental smartphone. And I don't think they exist, but you remember in high school, where they'd hand out calculators or something, but they were calculators from 1975.
Oh, yeah.
It was like that. It was like a 1975 version of a smartphone.
Yeah.
You had huge, clunky, plasticky, dirty and everything. And so I woke up in a panic, heart rate 155 at least, and couldn't go back to sleep. And so, but then I did go back to sleep, and was one of the rare times that my alarm woke me up this morning.
Really?
My timeline's a little screwed up.
Me too, man. I slept through the night last night. It was good. And I think a big part of that was I watched the basketball at home yesterday. You know, typically Thursday has been a, hey, get done what you need to get done, and now let's go out and perch ourselves somewhere and watch the basketball. And you know, I'm inclined to make a lot of bad decisions when I do that, when I get in that environment. I stayed at home yesterday. I've got the setup to where I can watch at least three of the games.
You make bad decisions when you're at home?
No. When I go out.
Okay, when you do it the normal way.
When I go out, when I do it the normal way. No. When I stayed home and made a lot of good decisions yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, stayed away from the booze, ate some good food. Amy made a fairly nutritious dinner for us. So I feel good, man. If you're groggy at all today, don't worry. I got you. I got your back.
Everybody, and if you're one of these people that have decided to get your vasectomy before March Madness begins, get your vasectomy and then just sit on the couch for 72 hours.
That's what I did.
That's what you did back in the day. Not yesterday.
No.
But back in the day.
No, 2002.
You didn't go and get a second vasectomy for nostalgia's sake or anything?
I made the joke after I got the first one I would go get one every year if it meant I could just sit on the couch with nobody bothering me for the first 3 days of the tournament. Now keep in mind, when I got mine done, I had 2 4-year-olds and a 3-year-old. They love to just crowd around old pops, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So when I said that at the time, not that I love my kids and I've loved them from the day they were born, but there are certain times a year where it's like, hey man, just give me these 3 days.
They have zero respect for the male anatomy.
Exactly.
It's really They're like sociopaths in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand or care about how you might be feeling.
That's right.
As a human.
That's right.
And they just wail away at every single part of your body. Yeah.
When I did that back in 2002, it was not part of like a trend or a theme of doing that. I was just I thought it was my idea at the time, you know? Like mm-hmm. But now it's a thing. Like I am a little surprised that we've never gotten at our station a urologist to do endorsements for, at least for the month of March.
We did, actually.
Did we?
We did.
Okay,
yeah,
I was
doing one for a while back when. Yeah,
must have been before I got here. Why haven't we done it again? It feels like it's a good idea. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't
Partly because March Madness isn't as all-encompassing and all-consuming as it used to be. It's still a big deal, but it's not as much of it doesn't dominate the way. Jose Altuve in left field is more pressing in the minds of the average sports fan right now than March Madness.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Hey, by the way, I got my new City Connect. It's a batting practice hat. Jason
That's
Wooden.
Nice. I like the batting practice hat is better than the actual. The only complaint I've seen so far, and I've started to agree with this complaint, is that the new City Connect uniforms are awesome. Much cleaner, better looking, everything than the old ones. But the logo on the hat feels almost like a little bit gimmicky, or it just feels like something that the Avalanche or somebody out west would do.
Well,
feels a little bit like I just don't quite like the hat. That batting practice hat is nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a choice between the two, and I chose this one. I chose this one because I felt it was a little more unique, realizing right afterwards, I'm like, well, you can buy both in the store. Neither are all that unique. They're going to sell as many of each as they possibly can. The complaint I've seen about the logo is it looks too much like the Diamondbacks logo. That's what I've seen.
That's what I was trying to think out west. It was the Diamondbacks. So, but almost like, because the A almost looks like it's trying to be a mountain.
It's tilted.
So it reminds me of the Denver airport.
Yeah.
I think that's why. Did I say Avalanche? Rockies. My God.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've got hockey on the brain.
It's okay.
Because a Houston billionaire wants to buy the.
Friedkin.
Wants to bring
us hockey.
A hockey to us.
Yep. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, I got my
I'll get the sports right eventually. Just give me until about 8 or 9, okay?
It's cool. You prefaced the whole show by saying you didn't get a great night's sleep last night. Of course, it was all started with the silly idea, not in a dream state, of getting rid of your smartphone. You think you could get rid of your smartphone?
No, I think the dream told me I probably couldn't. I travel too much.
Yeah.
For flying alone, I need it.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to just restrict my access to my smartphone more and just only use it when I'm traveling or just out in a situation where I need it for computing purposes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Dana Brown on the Astros team show last night on Astroline last night on our competitor station regarding Cam Smith, quote, and we're getting down to it. It's 6 days till opening day. Like, this is not late February talk here. Like, if he's being serious about what I'm about to say, then we could see Cam Smith in the big leagues. He said, Seth, quote, make no mistake, I'm not afraid to put this guy in the big leagues, talking about Cam Smith.
He heard our Are You Yella segment.
Yeah.
Where we asked him if he was Yella or not. And he said, oh, you think I'm Yella? I think I'm Yella? No, I'll put him out there. Punks.
You and I like doing this game. Do you think when somebody prefaces a sentence with make no mistake, it makes it more serious, or is he posing a little bit here?
Make no mistake.
Yeah. I'm not afraid. I'm picturing him wagging his finger while he's doing it, too. Make no mistake. I'm not afraid to put this guy in the big leagues.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
His track record says he's not afraid to put guys in the big leagues.
Right, yeah. I don't think that. And it's so it doesn't feel like false bravado or anything.
Right, right.
Or somebody adamantly claiming that they don't care about something, which is usually an indicator that they care deeply about it. I think he probably, which is more badass too, make no mistake can sound like something that somebody's like doing that same thing, almost making up for a lack of confidence. With him, I think he delivers it more like an assassin, kind of like, yeah, make no mistake. Yeah. I've done this before. He sounds like a godfather telling you that he's not afraid to kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, if I say, listen, I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty and kill somebody, you know I'm full of crap.
Right.
I'm still a little bit scared of killing somebody.
Right, a little bit.
Still kind of intrigued, but still mostly scared.
Yeah.
And, but like if a godfather tells you, make no bones about it, make no mistake, I will kill this foreman, then that's how Dana Brown does it.
Cam Smith, let's pretend he makes the big league roster. What is the main emotion Seth Payne feels when we see the tweet that Cam Smith? Because if he makes the roster, he is starting at either third base or right field. That's a fact.
I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm like, oh,
you're excited. You're excited.
This will be fun. Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm not overly worried or concerned about anything, because the other thing about Dana Brown is he doesn't look like he's too concerned either about the old school notion of, oh no, what if we bring him up and it doesn't work out? His psyche will be damaged forever. Because, okay, listen, this is the same way I feel about quarterbacks when people think, well, no, you can't draft a quarterback because then the young quarterback, the starting quarterback might feel like he has competition. If your starting quarterback isn't improved by competition or a threat, then he's not the right guy to begin with.
Yeah.
So, likewise, I don't think you elevate a guy unless you also feel like, hey, if he really struggles and we got to send him back down to Double A. And in this instance, it wouldn't even be sending him back down to Astros Double A. He's never been there before.
Right.
There's no hesitation there. So I get excited about it because it's not going to be. The downside would be, okay, Cam Smith comes up and it turns out he needs more seasoning. No big deal. Whereas some of the old school notions would be, oh no, he's just got a tender spirit and he needs to be coddled or whatever. Dana Brown's not like that.
At this stage, the excitement would counterbalance any other feelings I have early in the season. I would be super excited about it. From a baseball standpoint, my concern would be that you are almost by definition, if he's on the team, he's going to start at either third base or right field on a regular basis. Dana Brown has said that. We're not going to bring him up here and he's going to be a part-timer. Wherever Cam Smith is, because you could argue he's the most important player in the organization right now. You can make an argument about that. He's the big piece they got back in the Kyle Tucker trade. He is the one guy with a future that they've still got 6 years of control over. And he's a former first-round pick who's got huge, huge upside. So if he makes the team, he's going to start. You are, by definition, in all likelihood, creating another defensive Achilles heel on your team by having him in the everyday lineup. He can play third base just fine, but Paredes is going to have to move over to second, where he's not a natural second baseman. Cam Smith plays right field. He's not played right field before. So you've got two-thirds of your starting outfield having never played a Major League Baseball game in the position, not just in the position in the outfield that they're in the outfield, period.
Right.
Like Jose Altuve, it's not like Jose Altuve was a center fielder his whole career. Now his legs are getting a little bit shot, so they move him to a corner spot so he doesn't have to cover as much ground. He's been a second baseman his whole career, and not even a really good second baseman the last couple of years.
Right. So that's the trepidation part, and it's going to be a whole lot of – you'll probably in that scenario lose – at least a couple of games specifically because of your defense and your corner outfield positions. And the Astros know that. It won't be often, but it'll be a moment where, oh, wow, there was a run allowed because of an error in right field or an inadequate throw out of left field or whatever it might be. But they just feel like the offense offsets it that much that they know that that's going to happen. And there will be other times where, hey, they win games because of the offense of those guys. I guess if that were to be the case, I'd have to look at an over-under on, all right, when do I stop trying to be Joe Cool baseball fan that just like, hey, no, it's a long season. When do I stop being, hey, it's 162 games, you got to give this time? Would it be 6 weeks into the season? If the defense doesn't improve out of either of those guys or both of those guys by 6 weeks into the season, is that when I start to panic a little bit?
I think this is kind of a cop-out answer, but I think it depends on how the team's doing as a whole. If they're winning games, and especially in this division, if they get out to a nice lead where the division doesn't have any real killers in it, then I think you just roll with it. The only way they're going to get better is to keep playing. That's the thing, you know?
Right.
You know? So I think it depends on how the team is doing.
That was a tough thing with Altuve in spring training when you started was, man, okay, he's not really getting anything hit to him. But the only way for him to get game experience at this point is spring training. Spada said on Wednesday that Altuve is going to play most of his games in left field.
This season.
Yeah. So, I mean, for anybody wondering, because I don't know if we necessarily clarified it the way we should have. Yeah. It's not an experiment any longer.
No, he's
going
to play.
This is the plan they're going with.
This is the way.
Altuve, at least.
This is the way. And yet he didn't play yesterday. Like, he needs to get as many reps as he can, man. I don't care. He's 30. 35 years old. He needs to play left field. All right, off and running on a Friday. Got a lot of stuff to get to. We'll get to the March Madness for sure. We got headlines coming up later this hour. Drew Doherty has his fourth version of the mock draft roundup out. And there is a big shakeup post-Tunsil trade and post-free agency for who the experts think the Texans are going to be drafting with the 25th overall pick. We'll talk about that coming up next.